Welcome to the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we are going to talk about how Apple is destroying the entire internet marketing industry. Have we talked about iOS at all recently?
We haven't. Well, we've been talking about it in the course a lot, and I know you've been talking about it with people, but I don't think we've covered it at all in the podcast.
So we didn't really talk about iOS 14. I mean, that's like the big news right now, where they basically have prevented Facebook advertising from being as effective. We're not really going to talk about that today. Instead, we are going to talk about iOS 15, which actually scares me a lot more than iOS 14.
Well, and you did a lesson on this just a couple weeks ago in office hours, and I think you scared the entire members of the course.
I mean, I'm scared myself, and I'm trying to think of ways. I guess that's what the purpose of this episode is, right?
Yep.
We're going to brainstorm different ways to combat this. So let's talk about what's happening first.
Right.
So iOS 14 was all about destroying Facebook advertising, I mean, indirectly,
yep,
by allowing people to opt out of tracking. And supposedly, I think the statistic was 96% of people on Apple phones or Apple devices opt out of tracking from apps. So this basically means that if you're on the Facebook app and you click off of the page, you can't get tracked, right?
Okay, and so I have a question about this really quick, because
You
just said 90-some percent of people opted out.
Yep.
When did they get the opportunity to opt out? I don't remember seeing, I mean, I'm an Apple user, as you know. I don't remember ever seeing anything. I always opt in. I like tracking, but that's my...
Right. So I found, you know, I asked that same question because a lot of people didn't get the notification. By default, I think you're opted out.
That's what I was wondering. Is it a default out versus a, because typically the default is always in, right? The default is always the boxes checked to track, get the email, do whatever. But now the default appears to have switched.
Well, did you upgrade also? You upgrade to the latest and greatest?
I don't, it's me, so probably not.
Okay, so that could be a possibility too. But I do know that people who had upgraded didn't get the prompt, whereas other people got the prompt. But I think the default's actually off now.
Okay. Yeah,
it's just my suspicion.
I would be looking for that, you know, just based on what we do for a living.
Right, and you would opt into tracking, right?
Yeah,
yeah. But
track
I can
me.
See
track
like,
me all day long. Listen to my conversations. I don't care.
Well, a normal person would obviously opt out
of
that, probably.
Right.
Like my mom would definitely opt out of that. Okay. So that's iOS 14. iOS 15 is basically going to eliminate email tracking. And for me, email for my wife quit her job is probably 80-90% of like how I make my money. And then for the e-commerce store, it's about 30%. And that's a big deal.
Yeah. It's, well, as you know, I just took over email marketing for one of our friends, and her email is a huge portion of her business. And I'm already in panic mode about that.
Right. Right. Well, okay, let's just talk specifically real quick about what it is,
just
before we get into the solutions. So they have this thing called mail privacy protection, which basically stops websites and all third-party email marketing tools from using pixels to track users. Typically, the way an open is tracked in email is they insert this very small transparent image so that when the email is opened, that image is opened as well, and that sends information back to your email marketing provider that someone has opened it, where they opened it, like the IP address, everything. Well, now Apple is basically masking that IP address and then hiding all the information, which prevents email marketing tools from tracking if and when you open an email. And so what that basically means is that all your open rate information for your ESP is going to be majorly affected.
Right, because you'll only be able to track Android.
Correct. You'll only be able to track Android.
What about desktop?
And desktop. Desktop is okay as long as they're not using Safari, I believe. Like, I think most people use Chrome, right?
I hope.
I can't remember what the market share numbers were.
We don't talk to people who don't use Chrome. Those aren't our people.
What's unfortunate about all this stuff is that, at least for my store, and I don't know about yours, most of the people who actually spend on mobile are actually iOS users. Like Android users are cheaper in general.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a big deal. Even though I think iOS has like a 30-something percent market share, I think, you know, weighted-wise, in terms of money, I think it's a lot higher.
Okay, so this is not great news.
Nope, that's not great news. And then they also have this other feature called Hide My Email, which basically allows Apple users to create a generic email address that kind of acts like a middleman between you and your real email. So you basically don't give out your real email. You give out this fake email, and you can just turn it off and on at any time. And I think it's very seamless, the the way Apple is going to do this. I haven't actually seen the demo yet, but it's supposed to be seamless.
Now, is this for people that use like Mac Mail? Like, because you and I are Gmail users.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you can probably set aliases.
Okay.
Right? So you give out an email just for this newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And that way your real email doesn't get out into the wild where it could be sold or anything. And
right.
So if you get spam, you just turn that email off.
Yeah.
You could actually already do this already with the Gmail trick, right? It's
right.
like something plus whatever and then at Gmail.
Yep. Yep.
So I don't think this one is as big of a deal personally.
It's
the first one that I said.
So why is it a big deal to you? I know why it's a big deal to me.
Well, there's one more feature. Let me talk about the last feature.
Let's continue with the bad news. Sorry.
Yeah. So this last one is on Safari. Basically, it encrypts your browser so that websites can no longer track your digital fingerprint, period. Kind of acts like a VPN. So let's just, I think the Safari browser had pretty low market share the last time I checked.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, if Apple pushes this in their marketing, like don't let, you know,
yeah.
don't get tracked or whatever, maybe people will move over to Safari just for security reasons.
Yeah.
All right, I think I'm done. I think those are the major things for iOS 15.
Well, and that's the end of this podcast. We're both going to go cry and go back to bed.
You were about to ask a question earlier. What was it?
So what is your, because for me, the first thing that I think of is my sunset series that I have for my email. And
yeah.
basically how I keep people on and off my list. Because obviously, for most people, they're paying based on how many subscribers they have. So I like to keep my list active. I don't want to pay for people that are not interested in what I have to say.
Yep.
And so for me, that's totally based on open rate. So, and I think we've talked about this in another podcast with another email marketing podcast, in that basically if you haven't opened an email from me in 6 months, you start to go through this. You get a series of emails that basically ask you if you still want to be on the list. And at the end of that, if you don't, then you're unsubscribed and I don't pay for you anymore.
So what's even worse about that is when there's a lot of people on your list who aren't opening your emails.
Right.
That actually affects deliverability.
Right.
And so if you don't know that these people aren't opening your emails and all of a sudden you have this huge mass of people who aren't opening your emails, that will basically destroy your email marketing.
Right.
So it's the same thing. Like having that open rate metric ironically helps people, like helps
yeah.
the end user, right? Because that means like I'm not going to get as many spam emails from people because they know that I'm not opening them. They'll probably stop sending them in an ideal
right.
world, right? And so, yeah, that's whole sunset series. It's going to get grossly affected.
Yeah. So what did you say the market share was for Apple users? You said about 30-some percent?
I think it was like 30-some percent.
It's going to affect 30-some percent of users
yeah.
overall. Okay, so then my next thought is, I have never actually looked at this in my email. Can you track who's opening on mobile versus desktop?
I don't think, so we're on the same ESP. I don't
yeah.
think you can, but in theory you can, but I don't think the software tells you.
Because it would be interesting. So to me, like I think about, so for me, when I send an email, I think about the end user behavior. And I know for my users, depending on what time of day I send my email, probably depends on what kind of device they're on. So if I send an email at 6 a.m., they're absolutely reading that email on their phone. They're waking up, they're checking social media, they're checking their email on their phone, right? Usually before they get out of bed. But if I send an email at between 2 and maybe 7 p.m., they're more likely to be checking it on their desktop computer or their laptop or whatever sort of device they have.
Right.
So I'm wondering how much of that is now going to come into like sort of figuring out when your users are not. Because to me, like I love sending early because I get a better open rate because people are just like on their phone. Right. Now, that doesn't mean that I have a better conversion rate because typically, you know, a lot of times people will like click through, but they won't buy on their phone or they won't take an action on their phone. But at least they'll open it versus they're much more likely to like get a free download or something like that when they're on their computer, because no one's going to download a free worksheet on their phone.
Right. Yeah. So are you suggesting sending like during work hours?
Maybe. I mean, that was my first thought, is figuring out when people would be more likely to be on their computer. So you're sort of mitigating that phone email
yeah.
connection.
Yeah. So the one thing I neglected to mention is that clicks can still be tracked because
yep.
they're actually clicking on a link and going to your website. And what also can be tracked is that your website activity, like your ESP, I don't know if you have this implemented on your site with Drip, but you can put this code in. Drip will actually track the people who are visiting your site and correlating them to your email subs.
Yes, I have that.
So if they end up like coming to your site on desktop or on their phones and they're not using Safari, then they can get tracked.
My next thought would be what I find, obviously, like for me, anytime I'm offering like a freebie to click on in an email, the click-through rate goes up, right? Because they're getting something immediately. But that's not, I mean, most of the emails I send, I'm not just giving somebody something. I'm wanting them to click over to my website.
Right.
The next thing that I'm thinking is whenever I embed that video still and they click over to a video versus just text, click-through rates always go up.
So are you suggesting like every email you send have like...
Have that, what is it called? Thumbnail, you know, the thumbnail image for the video?
Yeah. I'm curious, what are your click-through rates? Mine actually aren't that great. Mine are like at most 2%, I think.
Mine go higher for video. I don't know what they are exactly because I haven't done it in a long time. I was doing it more last year and then I don't have any videos for people to click on right now. But for me, anytime I have people click over to a video, the other time I send them over to Facebook Lives, which, you know, I don't really want to do because then I'm sending them to Facebook versus my website. But if I can start embedding those videos in my website, it will help my audience. And I think anyone with a lifestyle audience is probably going to have a similar response.
I'm kind of curious about your, because I know you have higher open rates and clicks than I do. Would you say that your click-through rate is like 10x smaller than your open rate?
So my open rate is anywhere between what, like 30 and 50. And my click-through rate is usually between like 4 and 7.
Okay. Yeah. So 10x smaller, right? Yeah. I mean, that's a problem. I guess
on the fly. Come on.
What I plan on doing, and this update's probably coming out later this year. I think Q4 of this year.
Right before Christmas. That's great.
Right before. Yeah. It's horrible timing, actually.
Yeah.
I am going to just like the first line, I'm just going to say, hey, if you want to continue getting these emails, make sure you click on one of the links. That's the only way that I can know that you actually want to continue receiving these.
Yeah.
And then I guess, you know, so right now I actually send out 3 calls to action in my email, which isn't ideal. Maybe I just focus on one thing and just focus on getting someone to click on that thing.
Yeah. I think the key in all of this is going to be to rethink how you're convincing people to click.
Right.
Like basically testing the heck out of that and maybe start testing it now. So then you can correlate the open rate. Because when you're still getting that data, then you can correlate open versus click-through rate.
I mean, it's just a matter of time before all the data goes to crap, essentially, right?
Yeah. But how much, okay, so I was thinking about this before we started recording. How much of this do you think at some point will like self-correct? Because I feel like a lot of times we get sort of this bad news for marketers, but then there's just, we find another way.
Well, the other way really is SMS.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's nothing, I mean, you know what? There's actually, I have a spam folder on my phone for SMS. Do you have one too?
No, I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah, it's hard to find, but I do. It is there.
Okay.
Like every now and then.
Is that an Android thing though, or is that an Apple thing?
It might be
an
Android thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's an Android feature.
Oh, it's not. So you get every single text that you are sent on iOS.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's one thing that you can do. I mean, the best way is to just to try to be on all the owned marketing platforms.
Yeah. So that would be email, SMS. What else?
Well, those are the two big ones. Yeah.
or
your own private community or something like that.
Okay.
Slack or whatever. The other thing that this is going to affect is I sometimes resend my campaigns to non-opens, which is something you recently did that generated a lot of revenue.
We just did this yesterday and it,
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I had a conversation 5 minutes before we got on together with Kim and she's like, I'm so excited about that email. It made so much money. I'm like, well, we'll be excited for the next 3 months and then we'll be stop being excited.
Yeah. Resending the non-opens, I mean, it's basically going to be extremely inaccurate now.
Well, that's part of my whole email philosophy strategy. I mean, every email I send, a second email goes out to non-opens.
Oh, you do that every time?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't do that every time. I only do it for really important emails that I want people to.
So I do it every time. And so I have my list segmented into like three groups. I have my super fan group, which that open rate for that is like 60%+ usually, sometimes into the 70s, it depends on the topic. Anytime it's a recipe, it goes up. And then I have my like engaged fans, and that open rate is usually between 25% and 40%. Also just totally depends on the content. And then I have like a third, like these people are just hanging on. And, you know, that open rate's low, like 10% to 20% usually. So I never resend to that group my lowest group because I feel like they're just already don't like me. But the first two groups I resend to unopens, and it usually takes my highly super fans up to like almost 90% of the people are opening that email.
I wonder if I should do that too.
I send it 3 days later. So.
So my tiers are, so my top super fan tier is about 50% open rate. And then my second tier drops down to like half of that. So 25 to 30. And then I have four tiers actually. The third tier is 10 to 20. And then I have one that's just zero.
Yeah. They forgot who you were.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you use the lead score feature in Drip?
Yeah. Okay. That's how I find my super fans.
Right. Yeah. So I use lead score too. And what's nice about Drip, and this isn't meant to be an app for Drip, is that if someone comes on your website, you get points for that.
Yeah.
Attribute to it. So I would imagine like if they can core, of course it's all goes out the window if they're using Safari.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people don't use Safari.
Do you use Safari?
I'm sure people do. No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, it's on my phone, right? Because I have an Apple phone, but I always use Chrome.
Yeah.
I don't know. But so definitely not an ad for Drip, but what I also like about Drip is that you can give different levels of points based on the actions they take. So you kind of define that of what you think is important.
Right.
So that's what I like too, because for me, certain actions are way more valuable than others. And so that I like the fact that you can kind of control that too. But yeah, so my top people have opened one of their last like three emails basically.
I see.
My top people are, they have a lead score over, I don't remember what the number is, pretty high. And then my second tier people, like the engaged but not like super fans, have opened one of their last, I think it's one in the last 2 months. So, and it's funny too, I was thinking about this as well yesterday, is that, you know, sometimes that might need to change for seasonality too. Because like over the summer, everything on my site just kind of goes to crap.
But over the holidays, it probably goes nuts, right?
But like, first of the year, spring, holiday, anytime after like September, just the summertime slow always. Right. So I might need to change that because people are dropping off of that middle tier because they're on vacation. They're not as engaged because they're all moms with kids and their kids are all home for the summer and they've got lots of things going on. And it's just a different group of people.
Yeah. I was just thinking like, how is GDPR even going to work? Because you can't geolocate email people on Apple devices anymore. So does that mean like you might accidentally send unwanted email to people in the EU? I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know if you ever split test your headlines, but I mean, that's not going to work anymore either.
Yeah.
And what's going to kill, like, well, I don't want to say killed. I'm sure they'll find a solution. But like Klaviyo, like I'm on Klaviyo right now and they attribute revenue to every email sent.
Yes.
Right. And that's going to stop working. So.
Now, why will that stop working?
Well, because you can't track them. So how do you know they bought?
Well, if they're clicking through and buying, aren't you able to track that? Because it's a click.
You could, yeah, that's true. You can do that. Yeah, if they click through and buy.
But just but, not on Safari,
but a lot
you won't be able to
what
track?
What happens is that people just see an email and then they'll just go over and
yes,
make a purchase.
That's
like,
true.
At some, like it's just a mind share thing, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. I do that all the time. I'll see an email and then later that day I'll go, oh yeah, I need to reorder something, or I won't go back and find the email. Unless it's a coupon, I'm not going to go back and find the email.
That's true. I guess you'd have to do more promotions then.
Yeah.
Or you check. I actually never click on links in emails ever. That's just my habit.
Like why?
If it's a sale, like I won't use the call to action. I'll just type in the website and then I'll use the coupon. I don't know why. Okay, I don't think it has anything to do with, I don't know.
Do you just like making extra work for yourself?
Well, no, because if I give me the email on my phone, I don't like to do transactions on my phone still.
So you're going to go type it in your desktop?
Yeah, in my desktop.
Yeah. See, I like to click through because usually the coupon is automatically like in your cart and I can't remember it. So, but I'm with you though. I usually won't do a transaction. The only time I'm going to do a transaction on my phone is if I'm traveling and I have to. So like last week I was traveling and I had to order some birthday gifts and do that. So I did it all on my phone. But like standard, I'm never doing anything on my phone. But I think that's an age thing because like my kids will take classes on their phone.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it's an age thing. Yeah,
yeah.
We're probably not the
right
demographic.
We're just old.
I don't like to watch video either. Actually, you like to watch video. I prefer to read as opposed to.
Yeah.
Should we talk about what to do about this? I mean, we just talked about all the negative things and how it's going to destroy marketing. So one thing we already mentioned was basically structuring your email copy around getting that click because you can still track that. So you suggested lead magnets and
video.
And video, right? video where you're pretending like you're embedding like a video in there with like the play button to get them.
Yeah. Have you tried that with the actual play button and not just like a screenshot?
Oh, not in my main emails, but in all my autoresponder sequences, I do that actually.
See, so in our autoresponder series, I accidentally did one that didn't have the play button and I didn't notice it. It looked different to me, but I couldn't figure out what was different about it. And then when I went back, I was like, oh, you know what? It doesn't look like just, because I think what people do, most people aren't savvy. So they see that play button and they click on it thinking it's going to play. And it does technically play, but it just plays on YouTube or wherever it is, right? It just opens up somewhere else. So I think that play button is actually a pretty significant, I don't want to say trick because you're not really tricking someone. They're wanting to watch the video. But to me, that makes a difference than just having the image.
That's smart. I'm actually going to start doing that. I got to make a note of that. It's like an extra step and I've just been too lazy to do it. You know what I mean? As opposed to just putting the graphic, which I already have, kind of like lying
around. Well, yeah, exactly. And that's what I did. And then I realized later that it didn't match.
Yeah.
But I think that does make a difference in getting people to click and watch because they just instinctively click the button.
Right. Right. The other thing you can do about it is like make sure like all your links are tracked. I mean, certain email providers do this automatically already with Google Analytics parameters, so you can actually track where they're coming from. But I think overall, we're probably going to have to reduce our dependence on OpenMetrics.
Yeah.
So here are just some things that, you know, what's funny is my buddy Chase, who's speaking at Seller Summit, he actually recorded a podcast or a video where he took like the CEO of Drip, Klaviyo, MailChimp and whatever. They were in a room and they were talking about this.
Okay. So that's what I was actually curious about, because I feel like you're a little more up on this than me, is what are all the email service providers saying? Like, what's their take?
They're being panicky PC about it right now.
Yeah.
Right. They're saying, oh no, it's not going to be as big of a deal.
Basically, lies.
you can still segment based on like how recently someone signed up or how frequently they just took any action period and just kind of waited accordingly or, you know, monetary, right? Like if they make a purchase, you can just like instantly assume that they're going to be pretty engaged.
But that's hard. It's great for e-commerce, right? Because that's easy to track. But like for my wife quit her job, people aren't typically clicking from your email and buying something. They're clicking over to an article.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So for e-com, I mean, that solves, I mean, it's mitigated. But for info sites, you're right. Maybe you have to get them to do some sort of transaction, right? Like download a free report where you can actually count that as like a, not a monetary conversion.
But a sale.
Like, yeah. You can count that like a sale, right? If they take some sort of action on there.
Yeah.
It's just
I'm curious, like, what are your unfiltered thoughts? Like, what are your honest to goodness, like, thoughts about that?
I'm very scared for this update.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be just focusing on the click and just be very frank in, like, the first line of the email.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to continue getting these, you got to click. Otherwise, I'm just going to take you off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically like sending out, it's basically like running ads blind.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what happened with iOS 14, right?
Right.
Like people started running Facebook ads blind because you couldn't get metrics from it. You could get conversion metrics like if you implemented everything, but Facebook is not allowed to use that data to get you customers that are, they think will convert as well.
Yeah.
For your ad. So it's funny. I just got back from this event where literally the topic of the entire event was practically iOS 14 and what to do about it.
Yeah.
And so one of the key takeaways there was, this one person had this really, he gave this presentation and it was a really elaborate way to recalculate your return on ad spend. So I don't know anyone who's going to actually do this. I was thinking to myself, this is a pain in the butt. So what they do is they calculate their MER, which is their marketing efficiency ratio, which is basically the amount of money they make divided by total ad spend across all platforms.
Okay.
And then so whatever return on ad spend they get from Facebook, they multiply it by this fudge factor to get the true return on ad spend, right?
Yeah. Who's going to do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
The unpaid interns.
That's what they're doing. Well, because think about it. It screws up the entire agency model.
Right.
A lot of people get paid on return on ad spend.
Yeah.
Right. And now that that calculation isn't accurate, you got to find ways to calculate it. This other guy came on and he said the way he's fighting the iOS 14 update is by just doing the focusing on what he can control, mm-hmm. which is making the creatives for his ads so much better.
Yeah. I've heard that from other people too.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't have any metrics to judge whether the creatives are.
I agree.
Yeah.
So what I think is crazy about all this, and of course, we're coming at this basically as marketers, so we have a bias, obviously. But to me, I don't mind being and I understand there's privacy issues, and I understand that's very important to certain people. So I don't want to minimize people's opinions about that. But I also feel like I like the tracking because to me, it then tailors what I see to what I want as opposed to garbage. If you don't, you know, if my behavior isn't being tracked as far as my behavior on the internet, then I like the fact that if I don't open a bunch of emails from somebody that maybe I don't get them anymore. Why do I have to take all the action to unsubscribe? It's a pain in the butt. Actually, I just unsubscribed this newsletter that I don't even remember signing up for. So I probably just got my email sold or something for that. But it literally, I unsubscribed and it was this seven-step process to unsubscribe. You know, it wasn't the easy click. And I'm like, what a pain. That was just 2 minutes out of my day. But they emailed me three times a day. And I was like, I need to get this out of my inbox because I actually do go to my inbox. And work, unlike you, who can sit there with 120,000 in your inbox.
You don't just mark it as spam?
Oh, I don't like doing that to people.
I'm actually brutal about it if I know for a fact that I did not sign up for it.
The hard part is sometimes it's possible that I did sign up for it because I was testing something or I was doing something. So I don't like doing that unless I'm absolutely positive. If I'm absolutely positive, I will mark it as spam. But I know how that affects us. When people do, I love it when people mark us as spam and we know absolutely they were on a webinar.
Right.
I want to call them personally.
I actually agree with you. I've purchased stuff directly from Instagram and Facebook before.
Yeah.
And most of the time what I see is pretty relevant.
Yeah.
And if that were to just become spammy, that would make me less want to go on those platforms, which is actually fine. I probably shouldn't be on those platforms.
But no, I 100% agree with you. In fact, sometimes because I know how it works and I wanted to get a backpack a couple months ago and I wanted a specific brand and they're pricey. And I was like, I need to go on the site, add one to my cart and then not purchase it and hope that I either get retargeted with a coupon or get an email with a coupon so I can save 10%. I will do that all day long because I want a deal. And then I don't mind, I don't mind being marketed by that company. I already bought a backpack from them. Maybe I do want to get a purse or a wallet or something. I don't know. To me, that makes sense. I'd rather have that than an ad of something that I will never, ever buy.
Yeah.
And that I don't care about and have my whole feed. And I think actually that's what annoys me a lot about Pinterest and the main. I'm rarely on the main feed of Pinterest, but when I am, it's super annoying because the ads are not targeted at all because most of their ads are based on search, but when you're just scrolling, I'm getting ads for stuff that I would never search for, purchase, be interested in. And it just, to me, it's like a bad experience. But if I was getting ads for products that I liked, I'd love it.
I mean, my mom would, if you asked my mom, she would have a completely different answer for you. She doesn't want to get tracked.
Yeah.
So that'd be instant off.
Is she on her phone all the time or is she on her computer?
She's not on her phone that much, actually, unless she's traveling. She's mostly on her computer. But, I mean, I think that's probably the mentality of most people, right?
That they don't want to be tracked?
Yeah.
I think people don't care. I think they don't want to be tracked in feeling that they don't want to be tracked in general. They don't like the fact that they think Alexa is listening to their conversations in their home. Things like that. I don't think people care as much if you're on Facebook and you click on a link to buy a Brewmate and then you get retargeted with a Brewmate ad. I don't think people care about that much.
It's funny you mentioned that one. That's why I do not have Google Home or Alexa in my house.
Because do they actually listen? I don't know.
They do. I mean, yeah.
I feel like I'm just entertaining people at Google and Amazon.
Well, here...
with my family conversation.
There was a case where they used the recordings.
For a murder, right?
Yeah, to get somebody. I mean, not that I'm committing crimes in my house or anything, but It's not really.
But I want to be able to in the privacy of my own home. If I'm going to commit a crime.
It's real humans listening to it. That's how they refine the algorithm, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just like machines listening to it. I don't know. Not that anyone's probably listening to my conversation. I just don't like the idea of that happening. So I guess it's all depending on how they frame everything. Like if they frame it in such a way that, but it doesn't sound like that. I think Apple's words are a little bit more biting when they ask you to opt out.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the key factor right there is it's a default to opt out.
I don't know if that's for a fact.
That's the thing that probably is the most important because I think a lot of people just don't pay attention. Because the people that are opting out have already, like the people that really care about this stuff, about the privacy and not wanting to be tracked, they're already on like a VPN and they're doing all these things already to protect their privacy. They don't have Alexas. They're like you. They don't have Alexas in their home. They don't do any of that. They don't have a Ring doorbell. They don't want any of that data out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that. The Alexa is the only thing I don't
You're
have.
Like, hold up. I'm not.
That's the only thing that I don't have. But
I'm not. Meanwhile, I've got them in every room.
I know it's because you're lazy. You want to be able to contact your kids, right?
Like, I can.
You don't
want to
get up and turn off the light switch, like Jackness. So our friend Mike Jackness, he has his whole house hooked up.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So he'll wake up in the morning and say, "Okay, Google, wake up," and then like all the shades go up.
Yeah, I was at a friend's house last week, and they had their light attached to the phone. They could like turn it off and on. I was like, "Oh God, like come on." Like, I'm not at that level. I just want to be able to listen to music. That's all it is.
Oh, you know what? I have the numbers right here, in fact. iOS market share is 26.46%.
Okay.
And Safari market share is 18.43% as of this recording. Okay. That's actually not that high, but I mean, it makes a difference because Apple users have more money, I guess, from marketers.
Yeah. So I think one of the things we talked about earlier is trying to figure out when your people are looking at, or how do you make an email that forces people off their phone?
Yes.
And back onto desktop, right? So how do you do? I mean, I don't know what the answer is to that, but that's another solution. It's like, what are you going to do in your email that kind of causes people to look at it, go to their computer, as opposed to just doing everything on their phone?
I mean, it's for you. I just put it in really small font and you'd be like, ah.
I'm not joking. Like, seriously, like, is that could be a thing. Like, put your email text in 10-point font. Or everyone over 40. Have to go to their computer.
I guess you could have bonuses for clicking. I don't know. I haven't thought through it enough, but all I know is for me, I'm going to be focusing a lot more on SMS in addition to email. And maybe there'll be a way to just kind of correlate the SMS data back to email as well. Who knows? We'll see.
Well, you're already doing SMS.
I am, but right? The SMS and the email don't talk to each other right now. At least not on my wife quit. Yeah.
But you're doing both. What are you seeing as far as because I don't know anything about SMS. So can you track how many people like open that text?
Yeah, you
click?
Can. So you can only track clicks. The opens are unreliable. Yeah.
So how is that measuring up to your email clicks?
Oh, better? See, the thing is like the clicks are like the opens.
Okay.
Like it's like the my click through rate is like on par with like the open rate of my email for certain things.
Like, so would you say that SMS is doing, like, what's the conversion, though? Do you know?
So dollar-wise, for a list that's 10x smaller than email, it performs almost on par in terms of revenue.
Okay. So that would be, to me, what's your goal to get more people on SMS? I mean, not your goal, what's your strategy?
I try to get the email first, and then I try to entice them to sign up for SMS with content. Or I have two ways. In Bumblebee land, I have them get the coupon. So I have a spin to win. And in order to get the coupon, they have to give me their text.
Okay. So they get the coupon texted to them.
Right. So okay. In My Wife Quit Land, I give them bonus content if they opt in.
To SMS.
Yeah. Okay. So
Are you going to change that strategy now?
And try to get a number first?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm going to keep it. I think email is still viable. It's like I'm not abandoning email no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still going to get open rates and looks like 80-something% of the people aren't on, or 70-something% of the people aren't on iOS. So my click-through rates, just from my recent text that I sent out, were 29%, 33%, 23%, 25%, and 34%.
So high.
Yeah.
And what are they clicking through to do on those texts?
They're getting some content.
Okay. But you don't text. So I know when you send out a weekly email that has a link to your podcast, your YouTube video, and your content on your site.
Yep.
When you're texting people, what are you talking to them about?
Something that they want, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's
so you're
intrusive
not just
to do it
blasting
otherwise.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I did a very informal survey where I asked, hey, would you be fine getting like one text a week from me mm-hmm. about like what's going on? And I got mixed bag responses like, sure, yeah, once a week is fine. To no, I only want like, you know.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I basically only want responses that I'm actively waiting for or looking for in text.
So to kind of wrap it up a little bit, just first
it's impressions. Game over, man. No, sorry.
The world is ending. First impressions to me are that compelling. Like we were just talking about making your images better for ads, like making your email so compelling people have to click.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of times we focus way more on the subject line of the email to get people to open it. And now it might be more about focusing on what's inside the email to get getting
well,
people
to click.
Well,
it's both now. Like you have to pay attention to the headline and the copy.
But typically I think people focus significantly more on the headline versus the copy in an email.
Yep.
Unless it's like a sale email. Obviously, like there's certain emails where that's not true. But so I think that's going to be really important. And then I think the other component, and you're already doing this, but I think a lot of people will probably start thinking more about SMS.
Yes. I think SMS is going to be required anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I was slightly late to the game, or I thought I was, but there's actually a lot of people not on it just yet because it's a little intimidating and you have to get over it, so to speak. And it's more expensive than email, obviously.
Well, I think SMS makes a lot of sense for brands that are selling physical products or even digital marketing type brands.
Yeah.
It makes sense for, you know, Pat Flynn to text you, right, if he's launching something, or makes sense for Bumblebee Linens to text me if they're having a 4th of July sale. It doesn't necessarily make sense for me as the happy housewife to text you to tell you what I made for dinner. You know, so I think that's the challenge is for people who have these websites that don't necessarily sell something specific. It could be you have a site that makes money from a combination of, you know, affiliate marketing plus digital products plus advertising.
Right.
Well, you have to give people a compelling reason to want to get a text from you. And so what are you giving them that, like, because I think about some of the blogs, like, I follow, like, Pioneer Woman. Well, I don't really want Pioneer Woman to text me. You know, like, I can't think
like
of a reason.
You don't like Pioneer Woman that much?
I mean, Ree can text me, but Pioneer Woman. But, you know, I think about that. Like, I don't really necessarily want her texting me something. Or, you know, our friend Deacon Hayes, who has Wealth Cup Wallet, right? It's a personal finance site. I can't think of any reason why I would want to text from him. Now, do I want to read some of the articles and learn about investing or learning about saving money? Sure, like, I'd probably click over and read an article. But, like, I don't want that in my phone. I'd rather just go to the website or get an email from him and then just save it if I'm interested.
Right.
So I think that's going to be the challenge for people who are in that, have that type of content. It's going to be hard to figure out how to get people to click. And maybe that's something where you're kind of starting to run that like a lead magnet or a challenge or a mini course or anything like that. Maybe that's the in for those people.
Yeah. I mean, no one minds at all when we do like one of our workshops. No one minds a text at all.
Yeah.
So it just boils down to putting out content that actually people wanted.
Perfect.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.